What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It's the Fightful Select Backstage Report podcast for June 10th, 2024. We're going to recap the week in news that we saw. We're going to start right off with WWE's NXT Battleground. And I guess we should precede that with last week's NXT TV as well. JC Jane, her injury return came ahead of schedule, even potential timetables that included the protective mask that fans saw in NXT. Shawn Michaels stepped in for her in rehearsals. He does that with surprises fairly often. Ethan Page's promo work in the main event segment received some praise from those that Corey Brennan spoke to, and no rundowns were distributed for this week's show, with several production staff receiving blank sheets just before doors. Now, NXT Battleground, as highlighted, Gail Kim, Jonathan Gresham, Anthony Kitchione, and Ariel Schnerner from TNA were at the show. Everybody knows Gail Kim. Most people know Jonathan Gresham as Jordan Grace's husband. And then Anthony Kitchione and Ariel Schnerner are top guys in Anthem and TNA. So that's definitely positive to see Gail Kim back in the fold. She hadn't been at a WWE show in quite some time, so glad to see her back. I'm told that she was welcomed back as well. Corey Brennan was told that all six women came out of the North American title ladder match a little bit banged up, but that everybody seemed okay. The UFC Octagon was pitched for use at Battleground. We were told this would cause logistical issues by those that were in production and was unlikely to occur as a result of that. The setup for the show was said to have been complicated and a new challenge for the crew, but those that Corey Brennan spoke to in production were happy with how the setup came together at the UFC Apex. As shown on social media and in a digital exclusive, CM Punk was in attendance for the event. Punk once again kept a low profile at the event, but was in good spirits, and then filmed that segment with Roxanne Perez as well. Jordan Grace's earring being ripped off led to a brief consideration backstage to have a doctor check Grace over, but was left alone when it became clear that Jordan was unfazed by it. She revealed on social media Monday morning she would be retiring wearing earrings during matches due to the mishap, which also happened at the Newport TNA tapings. We're told there was a brief consideration to have the TNA contingent of people that were there shown on the broadcast. I was told that the former Dana Brooke, also known as Ash by Elegance, was sort of snuck in to make the surprise appearance. The UFC names that we heard or that were there said that they were enthusiastic about the experience, with one fighter openly expressing their desire to work for WWE in the future. Well, speaking of working for WWE in the future, lots of movement on all that. Hikuleo. So Bodyslam.net had reported that Hikuleo finished up with New Japan, which many people had kind of assumed, but in one of the least surprising bits of information, Fightful has confirmed WWE is interested in Hikuleo. We had reported that his deal was up in June 2024. I can't confirm if that's still the case, but we did reach out to him upon Tama Tonga's WWE debut to ask about it. Didn't get a response. Well, didn't get an answer, rather. We got a response, but not an answer. He did confirm our report that both he and Tama Tonga had talks with WWE in January 2023, but there was an informal hiring freeze that was in place that prevented them and many others from being signed by the company. By the time it was over, Hikuleo had agreed to a deal that kept him with New Japan until this summer. But it's almost a formality, but we got a lot more contract news going on. Natalya, as of last Thursday, had not re-signed with WWE. There is outside interest. Obvious outside interest as a result of the Owen Hart Cup. And although I'm told that they have that booked out and planned, that it could possibly change if Natalya was available, because that's something they would obviously want to adjust to. From people close to Natalya, I'm told that working that tournament is plausible depending on when the tournament actually starts. We've not heard on anything on the AEW side as to whether or not they expect that to happen. TJ Wilson, her husband, is also one of the most highly regarded producers in wrestling. I don't think he's got a contract. I think that most of those are employment agreements, and he could leave whenever. But Natalya does have an offer on the table from WWE. Dijak and WWE have been in talks. Corey Brennan spoke with sources close to the situation and said that he's being rep by Paragon Talent Group, which is Mojo Rawley and Steve Kay, a former WWE employee. Brennan also learned that positive preliminary negotiations have begun between the two parties, but there is yet to be an offer on the table. if Dijak were not to re-sign with WWE, we've told there is a lot of interest for the talent outside of WWE in and outside of the wrestling world. Creatively, we've not heard of any immediate plans for Dijak. Like, he's been discussed for Speed and Main Event, working dark matches and all that, but creative plans haven't really been that extensively presented or anything like that. Of course, he was formerly in Retribution as T-Bar, as was Shane Haste, who just won a tag team title over in New Japan after dropping them to Guerrillas of Destiny, which includes Hikuleo, who is headed to WWE most likely. Shane Haste drops the title and then regains it with his contract coming up. Now, I'm just saying, his deal's up at the end of June. Mustafa Ali, Slapjack, T-Bar, and Mace, all technically free agents. Do it just to pop me. Reform Retribution. Let's go. Let's go. Angel Garza, his deal is coming up on August 1st, as is his tag team partner, Humberto Carrillo's. However, I'm told that the two sides for both of these men are actively negotiating, and there is a deal on the table, an offer on the table for both of them. So, or at least that people close to them claim that there is. So that's one worth looking at and one worth being interested in. Angel Garza was on this past week's SmackDown, of course. Humberto still factored into stuff. They've been working with Legado del Fantasma along the way, but a couple of guys that WWE looks like they're going to want to hold on to in Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo, but their deals are up on August 1st. Ricochet, oh man, he is very likely leaving WWE. Fightful Select reported recently that his deal was coming up this summer. There is outside interest from AEW and New Japan. I cannot confirm if either of those companies have had any preliminary conversations, feelers, or anything like that. However, there have been creative measures already taken to write Ricochet off. Now, this is something that PW Insider had reported, which we have confirmed that that has happened. They also reported that he gave his notice to the company. I have not confirmed that. However, within WWE, they're told that there is a high likelihood that Ricochet leaves the company, and they do expect him to land in AEW. Now, I got to make this just abundantly clear. Very rarely will I speak indefinites here, but what I was told was it looks like about a 90 to 95% chance that he goes elsewhere. Now, you guys know me. If you've listened to this show long enough, I never put anything at 0%. And if I do, it really, truly means 0%. Of course, you can't make those types of definite statements regarding something like this. WWE might come along and give him a too-good-to-be-true offer, too-good-to-pass-up offer. But those creative measures to write him off have already been taken. He dropped the Speed Championship to Andrade at this past week's SmackDown tapings. Now, as of this weekend, there were creative plans to have Bron Breakker write Ricochet off. But as with creative plans, always they can change, especially when somebody like us reports them. And rarely do we report active creative plans in that sense. But this one was certainly general interest in that regard. But it wouldn't shock me to see them adjust or change something like that. But Ricochet is still in talks with WWE. When I asked when his contract was actually up, I was told early to the first half of summer, and I was like, well, that's sort of vague. I mean, that's vague in the most, here you go, I'm giving you something type of way, but obviously we knew it was already going to be the first half of summer. But Ricochet is definitely a big one that will look to move to likely AEW and or New Japan, and the benefit of what he's doing is that he can do both if he so chooses, so Ricochet about to hit the free agent market, it looks like, and we'll be wrapping up. I just want to say, PW Insider did a really, really good job. I don't know why there was a lot of, or really any doubt on that story. That was really in line with what I had heard outside of him giving notice, and just because I haven't heard it or haven't confirmed it doesn't mean that that didn't happen. You know what I mean? Speaking of possible free agents, Chad Gable. So his deal was to be up last Friday. However, he was announced for a match this Saturday. I'm working on more, but most people in WWE expect him to stay there. The people in AEW I spoke to said that there were some discussions internally about him, and some excitement about the possibility. However, they're expecting him to stay with WWE. Not a big surprise. Sources we spoke to within WWE were happy with Bron Breakker's performance and Adam Pearce's interactions with him. Sheamus versus Ludwig Kaiser got a lot of praise from WWE Raw based on those we spoke to backstage. There were some timing issues that were tightened up this week or this past week after the mishap that ended with the Liv Dominic thing. Solo, Tama, and Tonga weren't listed, or they were listed as the bloodline for their promo, but not for their match. There's no real rhyme or reason to that. So if you ever see anything coming out saying, well, they're not listed as the bloodline for this match, that doesn't mean anything. They are not listed as the Gorillas of Destiny, though. They have not been referred to that as that on run sheets or anything like that. People were asking about WWE Speed. Pete Dunne has not been producing those matches of late. He did for a while, though. Andrade is still likely to appear on SmackDown despite being booked to win the WWE Speed Championship. There were several extras from OVW who were at the show. Luke Curtis, TW3, Ashton Adonis, Cal Hero all appeared on screen. And Angelica Risk and Sophia Rose were also backstage. In addition to that, there were a few OVW guys at the Newport Cincinnati TNA tapings. Luke Curtis and TW3 played the security guards, the Secret Service for Mustafa Ali, rather. Our interview with Mance Warner went up today. Make sure to check that out. He is very, very blunt. We reached out to Jake Hager last week regarding BodySlam.net's reports that his contract expired. We didn't hear back from him, but AEW sources indicated there was no plan to use him, and he was done with the company. Mark Henry expected to appear for MLW again in the future. We did an extensive interview with him. He spoke very highly of Tony Khan. He talked about AJ Styles, said that AJ sent him a text saying, I hope I made you proud with the swerve of the retirement there. Talked about Battle Riot, talked about his theme music, which was just incredible. He said he actually heard it without the lyrics and had a conversation with Juicy J of 3-6 Mafia. Said they spoke for over an hour, talked about his childhood, where he came from, his mentality, and then they provided the lyrics and it ended up perfect. He talked about also his feats of strength, and he said that pulling one semi, Vince McMahon thought it looked too easy, so they asked him if he could pull two, and that he did, but it took him about a month to recover. His ankles, his feet hurt, all that stuff as well. We talked about some of his favorite moments away from the venue film for TV, and he mentioned stuff with China in the hotel room, Mae Young as well, as some of his favorites. He said that The Rock approached him about possibly being in the Nation of Domination and laid out the creative as well. And he also talked about lying to get Bryan Danielson a job in WWE by saying he was bigger than he actually was. Just check out that interview. There is so much stuff that we have in that Mark Henry interview. It went really, really well. He was also very generous with his time. Talked about his MLW appearances and the like. But yeah, check that one out, guys. Gigi Dolin. Unfortunately, we have confirmed she has been sidelined with a knee injury. They had still worked on some vignettes with Ariana Grace that were filmed outside the Performance Center, but were told at the time that was used as an avenue to keep her on TV while injured, but that has been dropped. We wish Gigi Dolin a speedy recovery and hope that she gets back soon, but it looks like another unfortunate serious knee injury. Britt Baker was in LA when Dynamite was in town. We are not told if she was at the AEW Dynamite tapings. Parker Boudreau recently started with OVW upon hitting free agency. We're told that Leo Rush made a pretty decent impression backstage at AEW, enough to where after his Wednesday appearance, they booked him for Thursday, which you guys saw. We haven't heard anything definite, but we're told they're open to booking him in the future. He is doing an Instagram Q&A Tuesday evening that I believe I'm taking part in, so check that out, guys. Fightful Select reported that Raj Desi, the former Jinder Mahal, was set for Black Label Pro July 26th. Kevin Koo would later challenge him. Fightful Select also learned that Rhea Ripley was backstage visiting at AEW Double or Nothing. She's been sidelined with an injury. We also were told last week that Will Ospreay had the week off, and it caused some weird discourse, probably because of the irresponsible aggregation saying sabbatical. Like, that was, it's one of those things where there's plausible deniability from the people that did it, but it was very intentional what they were doing. They were trying to play off of the people that say, well, Will Ospreay's running from the grind. Listen, guys, I don't know what to tell you. People have weeks off in AEW all the time, and I don't understand where there's this unusual point of pride in maintaining a schedule that is not good for you physically, mentally, emotionally, or anything like that. Guy worked three television matches that week, three extensive television matches that week, had the week off, and he's back this week. So, listen, guys, don't be weird. Don't be weird. Guys, thank you all so much. We're out.